This is On the Mark with Mark Tuart. And now here's your host.
Hi, I'm Mark Tuart, and welcome to On the Mark on CBT News. In today's show, I want to cover my rules to coaching, part two. And then I'm going to move into my other two segments, Coach's Corner and Stop It. Let's start off with my rules to coaching, part two. In my second part of rules to coaching, I want to talk to you about five different things that will help you, I believe, as managers and leaders, better coach your people. The first one is eliminate unnecessary paperwork or processes. I look at it as, are we redundant in what we do? I was at a dealership client of mine, and I was going through their processes. And because we had layered in particular things and particular paperwork, at this particular dealership, we were redundant three different times in our paperwork. We were accomplishing the same thing, but doing it three different times. And as I went through this, and I actually timed the salespeople in their selling process, this redundancy was adding about 10 to 15 minutes, sometimes more, to the overall sales process. Why were they doing it that way? The answer was, that's the way we've always done it. Well, that's the way they'd always done it, but they had added new layers of technology, so they were doing the same thing three different times. Just because you've always done it that way doesn't mean that it's right to do it that way now. Look at everything with a very critical eye and say, what can I eliminate in our process that no longer serves us? What can I eliminate with paperwork that no longer serves us or that is redundant? In the next rule of coaching, simplify pay plans. I'm going to give you an oversimplification, and that is sometimes if it's too much of a pay plan to be put on the back of a business card, it may be too much of a business plan or a pay plan. In other words, if you can't put it on the back of a business card, have you really dialed it down to its most essential elements of a pay plan? You have to look at pay plans as level one things. In other words, if you were looking at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, is this doing something as far as protecting, creating some security for somebody? And then also the other part of pay plans is it motivating somebody? And if you can't put it on the back of a business card, it may not be accomplishing either one of those. Now, I realize, once again, that might be a little bit of an oversimplification, but the reality is this. I often will ask people in a dealership, what is your pay plan? And then I'll ask a second, I'll ask a third, I'll ask a fourth, and I'll usually get different answers from four different people, and often they'll say, well, let me grab it and I'll be able to read it to you. If somebody cannot tell you the basics or the essentials of their pay plan, then how is it going to provide the safety and security and also the motivation? Because they really don't know what the pay plan is. And so often we just get too convoluted to where it's not accomplishing our goals. So I would invite you, simplify your pay plans. The next rule of coaching, I want you to coach people more than you coach deals or manage deals. What we find is that if you coach people, whether it's in a classroom environment, or if you're coaching them, if you're working a deal or at the desk, if you coach them through the process, if you coach them through potential objections, if you coach them through negotiating, if you're a negotiating store, if you coach people through a process, what you'll find is they begin to be educated. And the difference between educating and training somebody is education allows somebody to eventually do something on their own without having to go through you every single time. So if you can coach people on the process and what's happening, then you don't have to manage deals as much. If you're doing the same things over and over and over and telling the same things to the same people over and over and over, then you have to look at, am I coaching people enough? So once again, just to restate, coach people more than you manage deals. In my next rule of coaching, develop shared goals. I know that every single person in your dealership has to have their own individual goals. I can't give you an individual goal or you'll never be motivated. So I want you to come up with your own individual goals. But we want to create a team atmosphere, and all great teams have shared goals. You have a team goal. You have things that you're trying to accomplish together. And those are things you should be talking about in your sales meetings and at the desk and at on the showroom floor and on the lot every single day in your dealership. Talking about that team goal, you want people to buy in. And if people can buy into a greater mission, a greater purpose, it serves them over and beyond just making money or selling cars. The best dealerships that I see truly believe that they have a greater purpose than just selling cars and making money. There are shared team goals. Begin to make shared team goals and also to make them bigger and not just about selling cars and making money. My next rule of coaching, let your coaches coach. This is for the owners, for the dealers, and for the executive level managers, if you will. If you second guess everything that your coach and your manager does, or if anytime they implement something, you go and you change it, what happens is you're taking the feet out underneath the manager or the leader or the coach, and they begin to second guess themselves. They begin to not want to do anything because they don't feel like they're empowered enough to do their job. Let your coaches coach, even if that means making a mistake, even if that means busting their butt every once in a while. That's part of being a leader. A good leader has to make quick decisions and be able to live with the fact that not all of them are going to be right, rebound, regroup, and move on. And now for our segment, Coach's Corner. In this segment of Coach's Corner, I want to talk to leaders and managers about creating trust. It is impossible to build a team if you do not create trust. People don't have to love you, but they have to respect you as a leader, and they do have to trust you. And one of the ways that you can create trust is to fall on the sword. I often find that very good leaders don't look to blame others. As a matter of fact, if things don't go right, if they don't go perfect, or if you have a bad month, they're not looking to blame, to criticize, to critique. What they often look to do is to fall on the sword. And a good leader will fall on a sword even when they know it's not necessarily something that they had anything to do with or their fault. The way a good leader looks at it is everything has to start with them, that it has to end with them. And a good leader will, quote, fall on the sword to allow the team to know that, hey, this is my issue, or I should have done a better job, or this begins with me, and I apologize to you. And I can promise you, if you will do this as a leader, you will begin to get trust. There is nothing worse than a leader that is always looking to blame, point fingers. And when you lose the trust of your people, you're starting mutiny in your dealership. So I want you to create trust and just fall on the sword. And I think you'll get more buy-in. I'm positive that you'll create more trust and people will respect you more. And now for my segment, Stop It. Dealers, managers, leaders, stop spending money that does not support you. When I do consulting with dealerships, I'll look at your overall budget. I'll look at your financial statement. I'll look at your expenditures. And more importantly, I'll look at your ROI. I'll look at what are we getting back as a yield for this investment. And often what I'll find is that we've been spending money with a particular source or vendor, but we're really not vetting them, or we've got the attitude that we have to do it, or everybody else does it. Sometimes I notice in third-party lenders, or vendors, excuse me, such as third-party lead providers, that we've never really looked at the ROI, or we're not getting an ROI, but we're telling ourselves, we have to have this. No, you don't. If it does not give you an ROI, if it does not support you, if it does not grow you short or long term, then they have to go. So I want you to look at a critical eye and stop telling yourself, I have to have this. You don't have to have it. Make your vendors responsible. Make them share with you how there is an ROI and how they can substantiate that they need to be a vendor with you anymore. Whether it's a third-party lead provider or any other type of vendor, don't accept it that you just have to have it. Just stop it. I'm Mark Tuart. Thanks so much for joining us on the Mark on CBT News. Make sure you tune in next week. And if you want to reach me, please do so at info@tuart.com. Go to our website at tuart.com or call me anytime you wish at 888-2-TUART. Thanks a lot. See you next week.